Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
That's the heart of God. He's an incredibly generous giver. And he gives gifts. And the reason why we celebrate Christmas is because he gave us the greatest gift we could ever receive, and that is the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. In fact, back in 700 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote these great words, Isaiah 9:6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." God gave Jesus as a gift. As we look at that verse, I want to point out three things to you. First of all, Jesus came as God's gift that God gave. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." It's to you, God giving you a gift. I don't know whether you've ever thought of Jesus that way or not. Certainly at Christmas time we think of that. But do you realize in the New Testament, over 40 times, Jesus is called a gift? The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15 says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." He's talking about Jesus. That you and I can't put into words how awesome the gift of Jesus is. In fact, I would suggest to you that 10,000 years into our time in heaven, we still will be learning about this gift. We still will be marveling at the magnitude of God's grace in giving us Jesus Christ as a gift, as the Savior to save us from our sin. And that 100,000 years into heaven, we'll still be learning about how great this gift is, unable to put it into human vocabulary. Because of the greatness of his gift. And yet, as expansive, as magnificent as that gift is, still God has expressed it in a way with such simplicity that every single human being can understand that God has given a gift. The most famous verse in the Bible is probably John 3:16, where we read this, "For God so loved the world." He loved you. He loved me. He loves everybody. He loves all humanity. That he did what? He gave. That's what Christmas is about, celebrating the gift God gave. What did he give? He gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus is God's gift to you and I. As we read on in Isaiah chapter 9, we find out, secondly, that Jesus came to lift our burdens. It says this in verse 6 of Isaiah 9, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." That's not only talking about the fact that he will be a universal and eternal king. That he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, in the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. In other words, there's coming a day when every single man, woman, boy, and girl who's ever been born and ever lived will bow at the feet of Jesus and acknowledge he's the King of Kings. It talks about the government. It's not just in this life, in this world, though he will reign, but it is for all eternity. He will reign over all things. But that verse is telling us more than just the fact that he will reign. But in that passage, it tells us how he'll reign. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 4, just two verses before verse 6, it says this, "For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders." That he's the kind of king that doesn't lay a burden on people, but he lifts a burden from people. That he is a loving God who cares. And I don't know what burdens you're facing today or you've carried into this place today, but I can tell you this, there is a God who cares about you and invites you in the words of Scripture to cast your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. He's that kind of God. He's a caring, burden-bearing God. There's a third thing that this passage tells us about Jesus, that he came to meet our deepest needs. That God knew exactly what we needed. We needed a Savior. And all that that involves, a deliverer who could deliver us from our own sinfulness, because we would never be able to deliver ourselves. So God sent a gift, Jesus. And in that verse, Isaiah 9 and verse 6, it says, it gives us four names. He'll be called the Wonderful Counselor. Now, when we read that in the English somewhat fails us. It's a little hard to translate the Hebrew thought behind that Wonderful Counselor, because you read it and you say, oh, well, he'd be a really good counselor. So, you know, he'll get 5 stars on Google and, you know, 4.5 stars on Yelp, you know, that kind of thing. That's not what it's saying. We all could use counsel, we all benefit from counsel, but really the idea is that he is the source of wisdom itself. In fact, John, in John chapter 1 and verse 14, puts it this way, the Word became human. It calls Jesus the Word. That word, Word, in the Greek is the word logos. We get our word logic from it. And the Greeks believed that underneath all of the universe was a rationale, was a logic, was a reason for being, and they called it logos. And John borrows from that thought and says, Jesus, this gift from God, he is wisdom personified. He is not only the one who helps us make sense of life, but he is the sense of life in every way. That he is the rationale, he is the logic, he is the reason for your existence. And apart from him, you'll never understand why you're here. You'll never understand what life is all about. He is the logic behind life itself. Second, it tells us that he's the mighty God. I love that. Literally in the Hebrew, he's the warrior God. You could think of it this way. He is the champion of champions. He is the hero. He is the overcomer. He is the knight in shining armor. He is the one who comes to the rescue. He is the one who is invincible. He comes to rescue people. He's come to rescue you. He is the champion. He'll never be defeated. Then it says this. He's the everlasting Father. It's a beautiful, beautiful way to describe his love for us. Whether you had the benefit of a good and godly father or not, the fact of the matter is that all of us can understand or define what a good father should be. That a good father would not be indifferent, but would be interested in you. That a good father would understand your weakness and love you anyway and want to help you anyway. That a good father would not turn his back on you in your time of need. You know, this is the one thing as a pastor that I notice about people is that oftentimes people have this idea that God has turned away from them, that God doesn't want anything to do with them. In fact, there may be people that have come into this room today, and as you're here, you're sensing and you're seeing what's happening, but in your heart and your mind, you struggle because you feel like God probably doesn't want anything to do with you. That God loves somebody else more than he loves you. And invariably that has to do with things that have gone on in our lives or decisions that you've made, and you think, well, God would never want, but that's not how God is. He is the everlasting Father. He is the always interested God, interested in you. That he sees you. Listen, as a father, as an earthly father, when I saw my kids veering off course, when I saw my kids struggling, I didn't turn my back on them and say, listen, when you get your act together, then I'll have something to do with you. No, I knew this. When my children were struggling, they didn't need less of me, they needed more of me. and I would draw close to them. And I'm not nearly as good a father as God. I love the way the psalmist puts it in Psalm 103. It says this, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him, for he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. He understands our frailty. He knows how we are wired, and he loves us. He's the everlasting Father. And then it says, he's the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Shalom. We have a tendency, again, in the way we understand in our American English, we think of peace as the absence of conflict, that time when everybody gets along. But really, in the Hebrew mind, the whole concept of shalom is not the absence of something, it's the presence of something. It's the presence of God's blessing in a holistic way in a person's life that includes a flourishing, a blessing, a bounty relative to our spirit, relative to our relationships, relative to our finances. It includes the whole person, because when God blesses a person, it's not just spiritual. It's every aspect of our life. He's the Prince of Peace. But it starts when you and I have peace with God. And that happens when we put our faith in him. And when we do that, our sins are forgiven and a relationship with God is established that introduces his power into our life, starting from the inside out, and literally changes everything. So that, in the words of Paul, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, everything's new. He makes a person new from the inside out, and it radically changes their life. It literally transforms their life. I realize as I say that, it's because that in some sense is abstract. You're saying, but what do you mean it changes? How does that work? You know, the way to really process that is to hear somebody's story. And there's hundreds of people in this room right now who could tell you a story of how they met Jesus and it changed their life. But let me just share with you Justin and Tiffany's story. They were at the end of their rope and they met Jesus and it changed everything. Let's watch.
My name is Tiffany Kirk and this is my husband, Justin. So I've been in the medical field for about 9 to 10 years. We actually met at a Mercy event that was an employee appreciation. I think I actually was giving him some grief because he didn't want to ride the roller coasters that day.
There was one roller coaster I could not do. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, so he called and asked me to lunch, and I guess the rest of it
the rest is history.
It was about 3 years after that we got married that we got pregnant with our first child. But another 3 years down the road, we had our daughter then. After my daughter was born, I was in a new role with my position, and you know, I had the pressures of a new baby at home, I had the pressures of my toddler at home, and having the pressures of this new role. It was at that time that I really feel like I started to struggle with depression. Sometimes whenever that you just feel so overwhelmed that you just kind of go on autopilot, and it's not about connecting anymore.
Yeah, we were
it's
like
just about
so far apart from yeah. each other that we just didn't really, it's almost like we were like coexisting, like in the same house, mm-hmm. but we weren't like really communicating.
I grew up in church. I just always thought that God was waiting to punish me at any chance. I really looked at it as that this was consequences of actions that I had done in my life. And I just got to the point where that I felt just empty. And things that should bring me joy just didn't. I remember thinking, like, I should be happy and I don't feel anything. It got to the point where that I was thinking about ending my life. I actually went to a coworker. I told her how I'd been feeling and that I was thinking about suicide at that time. She asked to pray with me, and And then she said, she asked if that we would come to James River with her. I said, we'll be there.
Wasn't really sure at first, but then I got to talk to her a little bit more about it and then decided let's go.
And the night before we went to James River, I was actually outside and I was just sitting in the dark and I just thought, if something doesn't change tomorrow, like this is it, I'm gonna end my life.
When you walk in the front door, it's just, wow. I mean, everybody's just inviting. Everybody's like super nice. Everybody is just awesome.
I just remember that everything that Pastor John was saying, the message and the feeling that God loves me. I never felt that God loves me, that God wanted a relationship with me. That was the change I needed in my life.
Well, I knew something had to happen in our marriage, so I knew I couldn't do it on my own. So I knew we needed God to do it. Just a fresh start.
When Pastor John gave the altar call, we both raised our hands and walked down and gave our hearts to Christ that day. I felt like that burdens were being lifted off of me, that there was more to life than what I had been living. I just felt joy again.
I saw the change in Tiffany, and then I also saw the change in me.
God healed me of my depression. God brought hope where I felt like there was no hope. God brought joy into my life. God brought joy into our marriage. I just feel hope-filled now, where there was no hope before. That gift of salvation that just keeps on giving. And it wasn't just a gift to me, it was a gift to my family, it was a gift to my children. It just was this gift of transformation.
Isn't that amazing? I want to ask you this question. If somebody comes to you and they say they're going to take their life, what are you going to tell them? That person who invited them to James River, they said to Tiffany, come to James River because they knew she'd hear the gospel. That trust in the gospel is well-founded. Paul puts it this way, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is, are you ready for this? The power of God for the salvation, or we could say for the deliverance of everyone who believes. That the gospel has the ability, in the words of Tiffany, to transform. It was a gift of not just salvation, transformation. I couldn't have said it better. I mean, here's a couple at the bottom. I mean, they're at the end of themselves, a part of what we couldn't show all the video, but it's a very moving story. She had made out a list of instructions for the caring of her children, of everything, because she was ready to end it all. And yet when she gave her heart to Jesus, He changed her from the inside out. And you heard her say, as I came forward, the burden was lifted and I felt such joy. And then God restores their marriage because He works on the inside and then He works on everything around. That's the power of salvation. That's the power of the gospel. It makes people new. It makes them different. It's the power of God, and only God can do that. But it's a gift. And God is not going to force the gift on anybody. In fact, in order for any of us to benefit from a gift, we have to receive the gift. I mean, we could say, you know what? Hey, do you want the car? But if she doesn't say, yes, I want the car, yes, I'll take the car, I'll receive it, then no matter how beautiful the car is, no matter how awesome the car is, no matter how much the car would help her, it's not going to be hers, it's not going to benefit her, it's not going to help her. She has to receive the gift. And God offers something so much more wonderful, so much more life-changing than a car. He offers this gift of salvation.